Raider Nation, this is Amy Trask, and you are listening to the Black Hole Banter Podcast with James Arcelana and Q. Just win, baby.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, are you ready for some football? Raider Nation, you ain't ready for no football. You ain't ready for the Oakland Raiders. It's the invasion of the Oakland Raiders. Are you ready for some football?
What up, Raider Nation? Welcome to a special Victory Tuesday edition of the Black Hole Banter Podcast. This is James Arcelana, as always, with your boy Q. Say what's up, man.
What's up, Raider Nation? We are back at it, as promised, the Black Hole Banter, doing our thing on a Tuesday. And look, it don't matter, because you can celebrate a victory any single day of the week. And we are doing it on a Tuesday, and we're going to bring you the heat and give you all the Raider information, give you all the Raider down low, and talk about the win and talk about upcoming games. We're going to hit you with it all upside the head right now. It's going to be off the chain.
Yes, sir, and I apologize that we were unable to get you with the podcast on Monday as normal. I had to work late and was not able to get home until pretty late, and given the fact that Q is in time zone 2 hours ahead of us, it just wasn't going to work out. So I apologize, but sometimes the real world gets in the way of fun.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, some things that are really good, sometimes they're worth the wait. And so this is going to be really good, and it's going to be worth the wait. And Raider Nation, we promise to bring the heat to you. So it's all good.
Yes, sir. And as always, we will start the podcast with a little bit of news. Michael Crabtree is back from suspension, which means the Raiders need to clear a roster for spot for him. They cleared Darius Latham. They cut Darius Latham, which is noteworthy because of the fact that when he went on suspension, they brought up Isaac Whitney, a wide receiver, from the practice squad to fill for him. And so what that tells me is that Amari Cooper, who is still going through concussion protocol and still has an injured ankle, is likely not going to be playing on Sunday.
Without a doubt. I mean, that's what that screams to me, that don't expect to see number 89 running down the sidelines at Arrowhead Stadium against the Chiefs. It's just not going to happen, I don't think. I mean, unless something happens later in the week and all of a sudden he starts to feel better. First of all, got to clear the concussion protocol, and then the ankle starts feeling better. I would be really, really surprised. So if something happens, it'll happen last minute. But as of right now, I don't expect to see him out there at all.
All right, so with that news down, time to talk about the win. The Raiders advanced to 500 and are now tied for first place in the AFC West after they brought home a win over the New York Giants on Sunday. Wasn't the prettiest of wins, wasn't the most impressive of wins, but it counts just the same, and the Raiders are in a very good position right now, looking at a potential run to the playoffs.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable. I tweeted it out right after the game, and it was very simple. You know, if you had told me that after 12 games, the Raiders would have an opportunity to make the playoffs, and hell, an opportunity to win the division, and their record would be 6-6, I would have called you a liar. But ultimately, that's what they are. They're 6-6. That's not very good. The expectations were much higher coming into the season. But ultimately, what matters is getting into the playoffs by any means necessary. I mean, the Raiders, at one time, were the only team in NFL history to win a Super Bowl by way of the wild card. That since then, other teams have done it, but they were the first team, the original team, and the team that did it for the longest. They had done that. But again, I'm not talking about Super Bowls. I'm just talking about getting to the playoffs, and they do have an opportunity to do that. And not only that, they have an opportunity to win their division, since the Chiefs, who is the next opponent of the Raiders, have been playing so terribly, and the Chargers have been coming on, and they've been winning some games. And so all three teams are clumped at the top of the AFC West at 6-6, and then you got the lowly Broncos sitting at the bottom with only three wins on the season. So I wouldn't have believed that, you know, we'd be in this situation, we'd be talking like this right now, but ultimately we are, and it's all about getting hot at the right time. And I'm not even saying that the Raiders are hot yet, but a win is a win, and it's two in a row, and all they gotta do is continue to do that.
The best part about it is the fact that the Raiders control their own destiny. They have both the Chiefs and the Chargers on their schedule remaining, and if they win those games, and either Cowboys or Philadelphia, don't have to win both, in one of those games, they are going to win the AFC West. So that's huge, because it all is on their shoulders. They control their destiny. They don't need other teams to win or lose. They can do it themselves. And that was, you know, true leading to this point. They need to get wins. Now, those wins, if you get them, you're guaranteed, as opposed to before, where you hope to get those wins and hope it'd be enough. Now, it will be enough if they get those three wins.
And again, something that I would have never believed even 2 to 3 weeks ago, that the Raiders would be in that opportunity and in this position that they're in right now. I mean, think about it, man. They went on a 4-game losing streak, and at that point of the season, I'm not going to lie, I thought it was a wrap. I thought, okay, well, you know, this season is going to be a huge disappointment, a huge missed opportunity, and yeah, we're going to have to fire everybody and come back and figure out what's going on. But ultimately, with some convenient losses in front of them and some convenient wins with some teams that honestly aren't very good, but again, you play who's on your schedule, the Raiders are sitting in a good position right now, and again, tied for first place, technically, in the AFC West. Unbelievable after 12 games.
Yes, sir. So let's get into that big win on Sunday over the Giants. That was a 24-17 win. And I'm going to feel a little bit like a broken record here, because I said the similar things the week before. I said similar things against Miami. Good win. Solid win. A win is a win. Counts just the same in the win-loss column. But this isn't the way you want to play if you want to beat teams like the Cowboys, the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Eagles, or anyone you're going to face in the playoffs. It wasn't an overly impressive win, but much like last week, while it wasn't overly impressive, you did see some sparks, some reasons to be hopeful, some flashes of the quality of play that you need to have more consistently if you want to beat teams like that.
Yeah, without a doubt, man. It's something that was very ugly, and it was actually at times very discouraging, because I felt like the game should have been won early on when the defense was really, really playing really well. I thought that the Raiders offense should have taken advantage, and they didn't do that. So it was frustrating for me, but ultimately they found a way to win the game. A couple big defensive plays by Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin in particular, and you know, some timely scoring and some timely pass plays to Cordero Patterson and Marshawn Lynch doing his thing, ultimately came out with the win. And again, that's all that matters. And it never matters how the win, you know, you came about. It doesn't matter what it looks like. 2 weeks from now, nobody's going to remember how ugly it was. Hell, 2 or 3 weeks from now, they might not remember that Eli wasn't the quarterback. I mean, you know, except for the fact that it's such a big conversation. But really, that's over and done with now. A win's a win. It goes in the left side of the column. That's all that matters. And, you know, it hopefully gives the team confidence and hopefully gives them a somewhat of a blueprint of how they have to play to be able to win games. And I'll tell you right now, I've been pretty critical and pretty hard on Marshawn Lynch all season long, but it's no coincidence, in my opinion, and James, you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, it's no coincidence that he's getting the ball more and he's playing pretty well and he's running really hard and strong, and all of a sudden the Raiders are looking better offensively.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how you win with Marshawn Lynch, right? We've talked about this before. He's not the kind of guy you can give maybe 5 or 6, you know, handoffs and hope he breaks a big one. He's the kind of guy who gets stronger and better throughout the game. The more touches you give him, the better he gets. And that's week to week, too, not just in each individual game. And so the Raiders have clearly made an effort to feature Marshawn Lynch more these past couple weeks, and it's paid off. You saw the week before, you saw the week before against Denver. He was just hammering and pounding all game long, didn't have a great yard per carry, but it wore on that Denver defense and it helped him get the win. This week, he hit the hole running right away, scored a 51-yard touchdown on the first series, and that really set the tone because the Raiders were able to jump out early. Now, obviously, you know, the Giants climbed back in at certain points, but by getting that big run early, they kind of set the tone and put the emphasis or the onus on New York to try to fight back. And so it was a really big deal that they've gotten Marshawn Lynch going. He was supposed to be a key to this offense this season. Now we're finally starting to see him play out that role as a key to this offense.
Yeah, I agree. And I do think that he definitely helped set the tone without a doubt. And it was early. It was pretty awesome the way he did it, got through that hole. And look, the Giants are not a very good team defensively when it comes to stopping the run. And he basically got on top of that really quickly. And showed that, and it kind of let him know that, hey, you know, we're coming to play. And unfortunately, you know, he got a little dinged up and he wasn't able to go out there and play as much as he would like and as much as the Raiders would have liked him to. They had to start sprinkling in Rashard and Washington more, but still he set a hell of a tone from the very beginning of the game. And so that was very impressive. And again, it's something that the Raiders need to do. When he carries the ball and he's getting it like 20, 25 times a game, that's a recipe for success when it comes to the Raiders. And look, I will say that I was wrong. I will absolutely say that I was wrong. When the season started and the Raiders got him, I was super excited, but I was super excited to get him the rock 10 to 15 times a game, tops. I was wrong. He needs to get the ball 20, 25 times a game. The Jalen Rashard and DeAndre Washington, they could split 10 carries if they have to, you know, because those are guys, like you mentioned earlier, that can break one and take one to the house just with their speed if they can hit the hole or get on the outside a little bit. So Marshawn is the guy that needs to be fed. And maybe early in the season he wasn't able to be fed because he quite or didn't have his legs under him enough. But at this point in the season, man, you know, after 12 games, this dude is ready to go. And he looks like he's been hitting the hole a little bit harder as of late. Looks like his burst is a little bit better. He's harder to take down, if you'll notice. And at this point, man, I think from here on out to the rest of the season, you feed the hell out of him and let him give you everything he's got.
Well, especially considering the fact that the rest of the Raiders offense continues to be inconsistent at best. That's probably the nicest thing I could say about the Raiders offense right now. You know, we had that big run in the first quarter, Marshawn Lynch, the 51-yard touchdown run. And then get this, the Raiders did not get into the red zone until the fourth quarter. That's three quarters of just absolute ineptitude on offense, just struggle status. And so when you have an offense that's struggling that much, like the Raiders continue to do, you having a strong run game and a guy who you can use as your bell cow, who you can lean on, who can beat up defenses so you can get better throughout the game, that's crucial. That can be a really, really big factor for an offense that's really struggling still to find an identity.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, that run game and that strong run game and the ability to pick up 3-4 yards a carry and get collect first downs, that could be great for Todd Downing and him trying to figure out how to get in a rhythm. And still, that offense is not, you know, rhythm. It's not in a rhythm. It's not set yet. It's just not. It's a struggle, like you mentioned. And obviously on Sunday, not having Crabtree, not having Cooper out there, that played a major role. But look, Derek Carr still had Jared Cook out there. He had Clive Wofford that, hey, you know, surprise, surprise, welcome to the party. That was nice to see. He was out there. Seth Roberts, the guy who every time he scores a touchdown, the Raiders win the game. He was out there. There was guys out there that are getting paychecks that need to step up and be major factors, and they really didn't do a whole lot. Like I mentioned, Wofford, he did good, and that made me happy. But Jared Cook, I thought he would have been more of a factor, and he really wasn't. I think he had one catch on the day. And, you know, there's other guys that should be making plays, and you would think that they'd be making more plays, and you would think that Todd Downing would be getting closer to comfortable in a rhythm of calling plays, and you could tell that everything is just still kind of not in sync. And unfortunately, there's only four more regular season games going left, so they really need to get this thing going.
Yeah, we already discussed Marshawn Lynch, but besides him, there's really only one other guy who I can look at and point to as someone who really stepped up to the challenge, really stepped up in the absence of Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree, really stepped up and made an impact in winning this game, and that's Cordarrelle Patterson. That guy was an absolute stud on Sunday. He is a major reason why the Raiders won that game. He has been a major part of this team in general throughout the year, playing in both offense and special teams. I talked about this, I believe, on the podcast last week. I've talked about it on the website as well. He is hands down the best pickup the Raiders made in the free agency. I know a lot of shine's been going Jared Cook's way, but Cordarrelle Patterson is a guy who showed on Sunday how big of an impact he can have on the game. And I hope that even after Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree come back, Todd Downing takes note and makes sure that Cordarrelle Patterson is a integral part of his offensive game planning going forward. The guy is an absolute stud athlete, and you got to get the ball in his hands and let him try to make plays. He is the kind of guy who creates matchup nightmares, especially when he's sitting behind Crabtree and Cooper. So it's a guy who he showed what he can do. He finally got the opportunity with those two injured. He showed what he can do, and he really, really did well. He was the leading receiver in terms of yards. Didn't have as many catches as Seth Roberts, but he caught every ball thrown his way. And he had a long reception of 59 yards. And that was all him on that reception, by the way. all him earning those yards. So, you know, that is one guy who I'm going to point to on this offense on Sunday who really, really impressed me, and a guy who I'm really hoping that the Raiders continue to lean on moving forward.
Yeah, he really was shining. I mean, he really, without a doubt, he did his thing. And look, this is what he came to the Raiders for, is to have an opportunity to be more than just a return guy, more than a special teams guy. And he's done that well. He really has. But he's also done what was asked, whether it's take the ball of the backfield, whether it's catch a little bubble screen and take it some yardage. And, I mean, he did that multiple times on Sunday. That was awesome. You know, there was a early attempt to get him involved in the game. I mean, he touched the ball, I think, on the first three plays of the game offensively for the Raiders. And that showed you then that, okay, they're going to ask this guy to do some work today. And that was good because, look, when he gets in space, he is that mismatch nightmare. And he will create and he will get extra yards. And you saw how big that was. And honestly, without those couple big plays that he had in the game receiving the ball, the Raiders might not have won that game. I mean, he pretty much sealed the deal when he got them down into the red zone on that real long catch and run that he had and late in the game. That was huge. You know, the Giants had just made a big momentum shift where they had gone down the field and scored. And you're thinking, oh, man, it's going to be one of these games where, you know, I'm going to have a heart attack. And thank God Patterson came along and made that play. Carr hit him on a quick bubble screen and boom. You know, he made a huge play out of it. And look, that was the second one he had done in the game. Most teams don't allow that to happen twice, but the Giants, who are sound on defense, not very much so when it comes to the run game, but they're pretty sound in the secondary, and they got some dogs back there, particularly Landon Collins. They allowed that to happen, so you got to give Patterson a lot of credit. And I'm with you, man. He's definitely one of the best free agent pickups, not only this year, but one of the best free agent pickups I've seen the Raiders get, period.
Yeah, and we can take it even further back. Let's look at that Denver game. It was, again, Cordarrelle Patterson who sealed the win. On a third and long, he caught the ball and ran again. I don't remember how long, but I want to say it was over 50 yards. And that was what sealed the game because the game was getting close. Denver had scored two touchdowns, pulled it within one touchdown. You know, it was third and long, deep inside Raiders territory. They don't convert. Then Denver gets an opportunity to score and tie the game. Well, Cordarrelle Patterson to the rescue. Caught what was kind of like a little bit of a lob pass by Derek Carr, and then damn near took it to the house. So he's a guy who has been producing for the Raiders throughout the season, and these past two games, not only did he produced it clutch times. So, you know, again, massive props. We're going to eventually talk about the bad things for the offense, but I wanted to start with the good. So massive props to Patterson for what he brought to the game and hope he continues to do so.
Without a doubt. And you're right. He did seal the deal with that game in Denver or against Denver in Oakland the week before. And it was, man, it was just like a jump ball pass that Derek Carr threw. He threw it up there and gave him a chance, and he went and got it, and he just about went beast mode on him and almost took it to the house, refused to be tackled, and it was pretty impressive. So, again, this guy is coming along. He really is. Again, I know he has an option on his contract where he doesn't have to necessarily come back next year. I really hope he does because he's been a great addition to the Silver or Black. I think he likes being a member of the Raiders. He looks good out there with the team. And, again, in a moment where somebody needed to step up because Crabtree had been kicked out the game and Amari Cooper had already been concussed and hurt his ankle, so he wasn't in the game, he stepped up in a major way. So that's 2 weeks in a row where we're looking for someone to step up and be that guy. He has been that guy. So, yeah, you definitely want to give that dude mad props.
All right, so those are the positives. Let's talk about the negatives. Once again, I think Todd Downing's play calling was suspect at best. You know, he continues to do this thing where he has one or two series where his play calling is great, and then a whole bunch of series where it makes no damn sense. I mean, the series after Marshawn Lynch ran for the 51-yard touchdown, he went three plays in a row to Patterson. And I know we were just giving Patterson shine, and I'm glad that he was trying to get him involved, but, you know, let's see a little more creativity in that. Let's see you mix it up a little bit more than going to the same guy three plays in a row. So, again, I think Downing's play calling has gotten a little bit better. I still think it has a long way to go before where it gets to where it needs to be.
Yeah, definitely. He has not got that rhythm yet. He has not figured out how to use every player to the best of their ability. That was something that Bill Musgrave, he at least knew what those guys were capable of doing and how to put them in good position. Sometimes his play calling obviously frustrated Raider fans as well, but Todd Downing, it's beyond frustrating. And I don't know about you, but a lot of times I'm watching the game, I feel like I know exactly what play's coming. I feel like I know exactly which one's coming. And if I know and you know, please believe opposing defenses know. So that's what gets frustrating, man. You got to get creative, especially when you have so many talented dudes. I mean, that's the thing. It's not like you're playing with a bunch of scrubs or Derek Carr doesn't have normally Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper out there. I mean, he's got weapons out there. They've got playmakers out there, and it just seems like there's not, you know, a good rhythm and a good understanding of how these guys really work and how they work well. That's the biggest problem. Todd Downing's got to figure things out, because if you're not maximizing these guys' talents, you're not going to win the games that you should be winning. And again, you look at the record, 6-6, that's proof of it. They're not getting the most out of the guys that they have.
Yeah, and you mentioned the fact that you feel like you can see what play is coming, and I feel the same way. And it goes to the fact that this is a fairly simplistic offense in my mind. It doesn't do a whole lot to confuse or throw defenses off. We talked already about the lack of play action, which he has started to uptick a little bit. But that was a big issue early in the season. And another issue, you know, I was sitting there watching a game on Sunday, and I thought to myself, it'd be nice to see a receiver go in motion every now and then. I mean, even simple small things like that, that can help, you know, not only that not only throws some stress on the defense because they've got to match that motion receiver. It also helps Derek Carr read the defense because it tips what's going on the defense. Is it man coverage? Is it zone? What's going on? And that motion receiver will help that. And you almost never see guys go in motion for the Raiders. So there's just a lot of issues where I feel like this offense is just too simplistic. It's too elementary. It's almost like watching a high school offense. You need more complexity. You need to be throwing different looks and different things at these defenses to make it harder for them to read what's going to happen. Because like you said, if I can see what's going to happen, he can see what's going to happen, you better know damn well that the defense they're playing against is going to see what's happening.
Right, exactly. Because we're not defensive coordinators, but we just know what's going to happen. And you can see it. And you know, you talked about the wide receivers going in motion. Misdirection is good. You know, just create the perception that, hey, you know, this guy, he might get it on a jet sweep, or this guy might get it on, you know, on a rollout, or, you know, just make the other the defenders think. That's the biggest thing. If you get them to think for a slight second, that's the difference between incompletion and a big play. Because a thinking man is a slow man, and that's all it's about, man. It's trying to make mismatches and is trying to make the opposition just think. And when they have to think, they're going to react slower than they normally would when they could just free flow. And right now, if you're not getting creative, you're allowing defenses to free flow. That's the biggest problem. So Todd Downing still has a lot of work to do. I'm excited about where the team is at right now because they're tied for first place. And who knows what they're going to do in these final four games. Like, they can go on a four-game win streak, win the AFC West, and make a nice deep playoff run. And the only problem with that, as great as that'll be and as exciting as that'll be, that means nothing will change in the offseason for the Raiders. That means everything is fine, everything is fixed, everybody's happy. And yes, I'll be happy because I want the Raiders to do really well. I want them to win the AFC West. I want them to make a deep playoff run. But at the same time, I still think there need to be some shakeups done in the offseason. And if that kind of scenario happens, say they turn around and win the AFC West, that'll be the first time they won the division, and I couldn't tell you how long, it's been so long, then all of a sudden you're like, well, hey, there's nothing wrong with this team, they're doing great. You know what I mean? So it's like a catch-22, or it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. If you thrive and you do really well, then, well, everyone that's there is probably coming back next year, and they're supposed to be just a, you know, they should expand on that. But if they don't, which I don't want them to fail either, then there'll be wholesale changes. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't really know what to choose for them, even though I obviously want the team to be successful.
I mean, ideally, you see a young coordinator grow and get better, right? Ideally, you see Todd Downing prove that the decision to move on from Bill Musgrave was the right one. And hopefully, there's still time for that to happen. Hopefully, by the end of the season, I won't want wholesale change. I won't want to move on from Todd Downing. But we got to see change before we don't want the wholesale change, right? We can't just stick with the status quo because it's not working. And so in order to avoid going to the wholesale change, we got to see changes from within. And we got to see Todd Downing improve and grow as a play caller. He's done it a little bit, not nearly enough.
No, not at all. And again, I'm not so sure that he's really that guy, where I was convinced after the first couple games that he was that guy. I'm honestly not really convinced that he's that guy. I think that there's a lot of issues with him and you know, with the organization. And I think that there needs to be maybe a little tougher coaching staff in there. I mean, we've already seen I feel the John Pagano effect with the defense, even though it's been against two not so good teams, I still think we've seen improvements from the defense just in 2 weeks under him while Ken Norton Jr. was gone. I think that this team is just, or this coaching staff is just too nice. I don't think that they are tough enough or hold enough players accountable for their actions. And when players mess up, they just kind of give them the old golf clap and like, hey guys, it's all right, we'll get them next time. You know, I just don't think there's enough accountability. So honestly, regardless of what happens this year, I think that there needs to be some changes made. I just know that the more successful the team is, the least amount of changes that are going to happen. And look, I'd gladly be wrong. I've been wrong plenty of times on this podcast. I've come out and said that I was wrong. I have no problem with that. Hell, I was wrong about Todd Downing. After 2 weeks, I thought he was, you know, I thought he was Sean McVay. Well, clearly he's not. Sean McVay is actually in L.A. and not in Oakland. So my bad. But, you know, it could. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? I don't know, man. I just feel like the way that this season has gone, somebody's got to be held accountable for the way it's shaken out so far, and I don't know who it's
going to
be.
Well, you mentioned holding players accountable, and even if the coaches aren't, we are going to. So while there are issues with Todd Downing and his play calling, there were also issues with the players. In particular, Derek Carr didn't have his best of games. If we want to be perfectly honest with ourselves right now, he should have gotten tagged for two interceptions, but two defenders on the Giants just flat out dropped balls that were delivered right into their hands. I'm talking some of the easiest interceptions you could possibly have that were flat out dropped. These were terrible passes, terrible decisions, balls that were delivered directly to defenders, and they dropped them. It was a serious issue that the Raiders really got lucky to avoid having an impact on the game. And it wasn't just those two passes. Derek Carr was off on Sunday. He was inaccurate. He was making odd decisions. He was not playing well. And that's an issue. You know, again, you want the play caller to put him in a good position to succeed, but you also want to see him playing well, and right now he is not playing well.
No, he wasn't. And those two interceptions that were dropped in particular, those were dropped by big-time defensive backs, guys that are really good. Landon Collins was one of them. You know what I mean? And he doesn't drop passes. He damn near was the defensive player of the year last year. So, he's a ball hawk. He's one of those guys that seeing him drop the ball just doesn't make any sense. I was glad he did, but couldn't believe that it happened, you know? And it's just something that's inexcusable because they were right to them. It wasn't even close who he was throwing to. I mean, it's one thing if the defensive back just makes a really good play. That's fine. Then you just got beat by a great play. But if you just drop it right in their lap, that's not good, man. You're doing something wrong. You're struggling. And Derek Carr did struggle. Came up with a couple big plays here and there and, you know, really was bailed out by a couple wide receivers making some big plays. But besides that, he had an off game. And if it wasn't for Patterson's two long runs on the bubble screen, his yardage would have looked a whole lot different after the game. It sure wouldn't have looked pretty decent and impressive afterwards. I think he threw for, what, 295 yards or something like that? It sure wouldn't have been that. It would have been 100 and something at best if Patterson hadn't had those two passes or two long runs. So, I mean, a lot of times you can look at stats and say, oh, this dude had a pretty good game. Well, in this case, the stats are very deceiving as far as what Derek Carr did because, like you said, he did not have a very good game.
Yeah, I mean, he finished the day 22 of 36 for 287 with one touchdown and a quarterback rating of 95.5. And you can look at that stat line and say, hey, Derek Carr's back. That's pretty good. Maybe not as many touchdowns as you like to see, but clean on the turnovers and a high rating. That's pretty good. In reality, when you watch the tape, it wasn't very good. It wasn't very pretty. It was pretty painful, and there were a lot of times during that game where I thought, man, there's no way the Raiders are going to win at this point with the way Derek Carr's playing, because you always still, I mean, you still at this point, even this point in the year, you still feel like this offense in large part relies on Derek Carr. There is a lot of talent on the offense, but it can only go so far without the leadership of a great quarterback. And the Raiders have a great quarterback in Derek Carr. It's just that he's not playing like a great quarterback at the moment. So they really need him to step up and start playing like he did last year. Start showing some of the magic. I understand he's been hurt. I understand that's been an issue. But we've seen moments this season of that magic. Against Kansas City, we saw that magic. At times against other teams, we saw that magic. I need to see it again, and I need to see it more consistently. If I don't, Raiders, even if they do make the playoffs, they're not going to do much in the playoffs. It's going to rely on Derek Carr more so than on Todd Downing, more so than on anyone else on the offense. It's going to rely on Derek Carr.
Yeah, it is. But when it goes with Derek Carr and his performances and how it relies on him, it also relies on the wide receivers to catch the damn ball. And for some reason, the Raiders decide they want to lead the league again or be right up there at the top of the league in drop passes. And there's no excuse for continually dropping passes. I think they had four more on Sunday. You cannot do that. And look, everyone was all over Amari Cooper for dropping passes early in the season. Michael Crabtree, he was the guy the year before. Cooper was the year before that. And this week, neither one of those guys were in the game, and there were still drop passes. There were still a bunch of drop passes, and that is not okay. Your job is to catch the ball first and foremost. Everything you do after is great. And it's gravy, but you are supposed to catch the ball first. Cordell Patterson, you mentioned earlier, he caught the passes that came to him, and then he made magic happen afterwards. That is what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to worry about taking the ball to the house because you got to catch the ball. And if you take off to go to the house without the ball, guess what? It's an incompletion, and it don't count. All you did is just run a 9 for nothing. You know what I mean? And that's the problem. And Derek Carr's been picked off, I think, 8 times this season. And there's been some passes that were really bad. But there's also been some that have bounced right off a guy's hands, right off a guy's shoulder pads, right off a guy's helmets. I mean, there's things that are going on with this wide receivers or this group of wide receivers that I don't understand. You want to be really good. You want to be really great. You want to take that next step. You have to catch the ball. And I don't understand why there's so many balls put on the ground. Even Johnny Holton with his touchdown that he had, he still put it on the ground. Absolutely put it on the ground, and I thought for a second they were going to call it incompletion because we never know what a catch is in the league anyway. So there's just you cannot do it. You know, Seth Roberts, he dropped one in the corner. Now, granted, that would have been a really – or he didn't drop it, but he was out of bounds. That would have been a really tough play, but, I mean, at least he gave himself a chance. But these guys just are dropping too many passes. I don't understand it. That is your job as a wide receiver, is to catch the ball first. And right now – they're not doing themselves any favor by putting the ball on the ground.
Yeah, and speaking of putting the ball on the ground, I want to talk about someone else, not just the receivers. Jalen Rashard, what's going on, man?
Jesus.
Three muff punts.
That was ugly. That was absolutely ugly. I don't know what he did. It looked like he was trying to give that game away. Like he was. I don't want to even touch the ball today. He put the ball on the ground more times. I mean, hell, that damn near looked like he was playing a basketball game as many times as the ball hit the ground.
Yeah, man, and here's the thing. Raiders got damn lucky because he dropped the ball consistently and none of them led to turnovers. You know, that's the thing about this game. They came away with the win. It very, very easily could have been a loss and a bad one because he had two interceptions by Derek Carr that were dropped and then the three fumbles by Jalen Rashard that luckily were recovered by Raiders. So, in general, you need to see the whole team clean up. You can't beat teams like the Chiefs, Cowboys, Eagles, and Chargers if you're playing this sloppily. And so, you know, we talked about coordinator a lot this season, and we will continue to do so, but you also need to look at the players, and I hate to use this word, but the players who are not executing. I know that's Jack Del Rio's favorite word. It's what he loves to place blame because he doesn't want to take any blame himself and tell the players aren't executing. But the fact is, there are significant periods of time where they're not executing. We just listed a bunch of examples where the Raiders got very, very lucky that the lack of execution didn't come back to bite them in the butt.
Yeah, very much so. If it wasn't for a Giants team being really, really down and really, really bad and half of them give up and half of them quit, it really probably could have came back to bite them in the butt. And that's what's the problem. That's what the biggest problem is that the Raiders would have basically fumbled away this game, a game that they needed to have, a win that they needed to have. They would have fumbled away to a team that really don't care about winning. You know what I mean? It's just it's a mess. And so, yeah, I'll take the win. I'm glad they got the win. I'm glad they improved their record to 6-6. But there's so much they got to clean up. There's absolutely so much they got to clean up from coaching to playing on the field. I mean, everything. It's got to get better. You have four games left. Four games guaranteed in this regular season. You need to go balls to the wall. You need to let it all hang out. I haven't said this in a while, but they need to put their nuts on the table and say, let's go. You know, they need to absolutely just get it done the next four games. I mean, it's just bottom line. It's how it's got to be.
No doubt. All right. So that was the bad parts of Sunday. Let's talk a little about the good parts. And that was on defense, believe it or not. Yes, that's right. The good part of the Raiders win came on defense. I know that sounds weird. It feels weird to say it. But the reality is, under Pagano, the Raiders are playing better. I know what people are going to say. They played Geno Smith and they played the Giants. But let's be real here. The Raiders played some bad offenses earlier this season, played some bad offenses last season, made those offenses look good. They did not do that on Sunday. And now it's baby steps, right? And don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that this defense has arrived. I'm not trying to say the defense is even good. But it is improved. They've had 8 sacks in the last 2 games. Before that, they had 14 in the whole season of 10 games. So it's clear that things are already improving, in particular with the pass rush, and in particular with the defensive line, who has also been very stout against the run these past couple of games. And so, you know, we talked about last week what we've seen. We've seen more, you know, what we've seen from John Pagano is what we would like to see from Todd Downing. He's taken a very simplistic defense, and he's made it more confusing for offenses. He lines up different people on the defensive line. He moves people around. He shows different looks. He brings blitzes. He shows a look like he's going to bring a blitz, then he has them drop back. He does simple things that are very common in the rest of the NFL, but that the Raiders weren't doing, and it's already having an impact.
Yeah, exactly. It's that experience. We talked about it last week. It really is. I mean, look at guys like Bruce Irvin and Khalil Mack. They are starting to eat. They are really starting to eat. I mean, I can only imagine what their numbers would look like, and even what the defensive numbers would look like altogether if Pagano was the defensive coordinator the whole season. I mean, hell, Bruce Irvin's had 2.5 sacks, or he had 2.5 sacks in 10 games under Ken Norton Jr., and he's got 3 sacks in 2 games under John Pagano. That's not a coincidence. I mean, it's really not. And it's funny, I use Bruce Irvin for an example because he was the guy that most of Raider Nation felt like, oh, man, he's really close to Ken Norton Jr. That was his guy. That was his buddy. That was one of the reasons why he was a Raider. He ain't going to want to be here. And look, that may be the case, and that might have been the case, but he's thriving right now under John Pagano. He's playing, and he's balling his tail off. He's forced fumbles 2 weeks in a row. Khalil Mack has come up big 2 weeks in a row. It is not a coincidence. For anyone who thinks it's a coincidence that these guys are playing well just because of the competition that they're playing is insane. That's just not it. I mean, the Raiders, their defense was not good, and especially the defensive line, they were not good under Ken Norton Jr. He did not know how to use these guys. It's also something that we've been talking about with Todd Downing. Not sure if he knows how to use the guys he has. John Pagano is experienced. He's been there, done that. And what makes me most comfortable with him is he gets the defensive play call in right away. He knows what he wants to do. He's not up there throwing something up against the wall and hoping it sticks and saying, yeah, that's a good formation. That's a good way to do this. Oh, okay, maybe I'll move Khalil Mack around. No, he knows what he wants to do. He knows how to do it, and he's continuing to do it. And the Raiders are bringing pressure. I like that from Pagano. They're getting pressure on the quarterback, making things tough for them. And it makes the secondary better. Hell, Sean Smith is actually playing decent. He did have some bad decisions on Sunday. Don't get me wrong. He did piss me off at times. But the secondary is still playing better than it was when Ken Norton Jr. was the defensive coordinator, because that defensive line is able to get pressure.
Yeah, look, the secondary is lacking talent, period. There's nothing you can do to get around that. That's just the reality of the matter. But Pagano is limiting the impact of that lack of talent, right? He's not making it. Before, under Ken Norton Jr., the lack of talent was so glaring because any offense could move the ball with ease. I don't care if the offense is good or bad. They came against the Raiders defense. They were suddenly good. That's not what happened on Sunday. The Giants had 12 possessions. 7 of those possessions were punts. 2 of them were turnovers, and 3 of them were scores. That is not something we saw under Ken Norton Jr. And again, it is only small things, right? Because he's only so much he can do. But those small things have made a big difference. And another small thing that he's made, he gets the play calls in on time. You don't see linebackers out there going, what's going on? Where's the play? You don't see them gesticulating to the sideline trying to get a play in. No, he's getting that play call in time, and he's getting good play calls in on time. So they've only been minor changes on defense, because it's not like you can go out and get a whole new roster right now in the middle of the season, but those minor changes have had fairly large impacts. And you know, again, you don't expect this defense to be something that can carry the Raiders, But if it's a defense that can make plays and have impacts on the game, it can help the offense get better. It can help the offense by giving them more possessions. It can help the offense by taking pressure off of them. It can help the offense in a lot of ways, and that's what the Raiders need right now. They need as little pressure on the offense as possible and for the defense to do everything it can, and that's what we saw on Sunday. They did a lot. They had the two turnovers. They had the three sacks. They were constantly pressuring Geno Smith. And one other thing that I think is really, really promising is that not only were they pressuring Geno Smith, they were not allowing Geno Smith to beat him with his legs, okay? On Sunday, he only rushed for 13 yards. Before that game, he played the Raiders three different times, and he was averaging something like 15 yards a carry. I mean, it was insane. He was just running all over the Raiders. And that's big because next weekend, the Raiders are playing Alex Smith, who has also done that to the Raiders. He has used his legs to beat the Raiders consistently throughout his career. And what I saw on Sunday was a defensive coordinator who recognized that threat and extinguished that threat before it could hurt the Raiders. That, again, minor twitches, big impacts.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Example here, Austin Gale, who you've had on the podcast before, he said that Dexter McDonald, of all people, who started on Sunday against the Giants, he earned an 87.8 coverage grade. 87.8, which is the highest of any secondary member of the Raiders all season long. He did that, and that was in particular because of the pressure that was able to be put on to Geno Smith and made everything uncomfortable for him. Look, if you make it uncomfortable for the quarterback, he's going to make mistakes. And the next four games are games that have to be won by the Raiders. They're games that they need to win. They quite honestly need to win all of them, but I know mathematically they don't have to, but in my mind they do. Think about the quarterbacks that are there. Alex Smith, you get enough pressure on him, he may make a mistake. You look at Dak Prescott. You get enough pressure on him, he'll probably make a mistake. Who's coming up after that? Carson Wentz. You get some pressure on him, he can make a mistake. And hell, Phillip Rivers, you know that if you get some pressure on him, he'll make a mistake. So all these games are technically winnable games. I'm not going to say that they're going to win all four. They're all winnable, but they just need some help. The defense don't have to carry them like you mentioned, but they do need to help out. They need to participate. They need to do something. And for the longest, they were doing nothing. And so that's the biggest issue for me. They need to continue to do what they are doing and continue to grow with John Pagano. And we already know he's coming back for 2018. He's going to be the defensive coordinator unless something crazy happens. He will be that guy. If he's showing this kind of signs after 2 weeks, I'm fine with that. Let him rock that defensive coordinator position and let him help them get better and continue to grow. I'm excited for the direction of the defense if that guy is calling the shots.
Yeah, and you know what's really nice about it is the fact that he is taking what was supposed to be a strength in the pass rush and he's making it a strength. Again, he's not working magic out there. He's not taking a terrible secondary and making it better. He's just getting players in a position to succeed. You mentioned Bruce Irvin already. He has been light years better in these past two games than he was under Ken Norton Jr. Khalil Mack has been light years better in these past two games than he was under Ken Norton Jr. DeNico Autry has been light years better in these past two games than he was under Ken Norton Jr. He, being Pagano, is putting these guys in a position to succeed. And again, simple switches. Moving Khalil Mack along the line. Having some stunts. Having some twists. Having some blitzes. He is doing minor things that they weren't doing before, but the impact of those minor things is that the Raiders are finally getting more out of the guys who you expected to be leaders on this defense, who you expected to have impacts on this defense, and who up to these past couple of games just haven't really been doing it. You know, you heard Q all season long, he's been calling out Khalil Mack to step up and do it. Well, Pagano steps in, and suddenly Mack is acting like an absolute beast on the field. Same with Bruce Irvin. You heard me calling him out. Where the hell is Bruce Irvin this season? Why has he been so invisible? Well, step in John Pagano, all of a sudden Bruce Irvin is balling. And so, I'm in agreement right now, you know what I mean? He is getting the most out of this limited roster, and that's not what we saw under Ken Norton Jr. So at this point, you know, when Jack Del Rio said that he envisions Pagano as a defensive coordinator, I got a little upset. In 2018, I got a little upset because at that point we hadn't seen anything from Pagano, and I thought it was a little bit premature to be declaring him as a D coordinator in 2018 when he had yet to even coordinate one single game for the Raiders yet. But two games in, I'm already seeing dramatic impact. I'm already seeing a much better defense. Again, not a good defense, not a great defense, that's for damn sure. but a better defense. And again, has to do with putting your players in position to succeed. And that alone is a major, major upgrade. So at this point, I'm all for Pagano running the defense again next year. I'd love to see what he can do once he has a healthy Gary and Conley, a healthy Obi Melanfonwu, and some more guys hopefully added through free agency in the draft.
Yeah, no doubt. And hopefully Reggie Nelson is not there. You know, hopefully he's gone. That'll make your defense better instantly, is having that old man and that slow dude out of there, because he is a struggle. And I swear, and I think you tweeted it out during the game, there was a point where he just kind of ran side by side with Sterling Shepard after he made a catch.
Oh, my God.
And I'm thinking, when are you going to make the tackle? Are you just going to run with him? Like, he's not trying to tag you. This is not, you know, it's not like you're a sprinter and he's trying to get you on a relay race and you're trying to get tagged. Like, you need to tackle him. And he just looked like he was just going to run by side by side. And, well, I wonder how far we can go before we decide to call this off. And, yeah, finally, you know, he steps up and makes a play. But, Jesus Christ, I'm thinking, what in the hell's wrong with this dude? So, he's a guy who's just got to go. I mean, if he had gone, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, I'd have been fine. If he had been shown the door the minute Ken Norton Jr. was shown the door, I'd have been okay with that. But obviously, he's going to play it out till the end of the season. But I promise you, man, I hope with all my heart that they do not bring Reggie Nelson back next year, because that'll be really, really disappointing. He's got to be a casualty. He's got to be one of those guys that just does not make it back. And I don't know, he should go ahead and hang it up, because he ain't got it no more. I know at one time he was a pretty damn good ball hawk. But this is not that time. He's not that dude right now. So if you want to improve this defense, you've got to get better players, first of all, and you just got to you know, trust your coordinator and hope your coordinator continues to grow. And I think he will, especially if he's able to get that defensive line to play the way it's been playing the last couple of weeks. Between Mac, Autry, and Irvin, man, I've been so damn pleased. I mean, those guys are out there, and they are eating. I mean, how many sacks does Danico Autry have in the last couple of games? That has been awesome. You know, he's a guy that you don't even hear his name very often. All of a sudden, he's getting sacks. He's knocking the ball down. I mean, he's doing all kinds of things. So these guys are showing that they have the ability to get it done. They just needed someone with some kind of sense and some kind of wherewithal to know, you know, to set them up in that position. And now they have that. So hopefully we get to continue to see that grow.
Yeah, and when you talk about Nelson, again, look at what's happened under Pagano. He's limited the negative impact that Nelson can have, because we're no longer seeing Nelson as a single high safety 100% of the time. He's still playing that on occasion, but you haven't seen the Raiders get burnt for a bunch of huge deep passes nearly as often, because of the fact that they're no longer just having him as the safety gauge. They no longer have only Reggie Nelson as the last line of defense. They've been playing Carl Joseph a little bit higher. They've been playing Shalom Luwani a lot more. They've been playing, they played Keith McGill a bit this past game. And they've really, again, he's doing the things that we've all been begging to see. He's recognizing the flaws in Ken Norton's ways, and he's adjusting them. And so I completely agree that Nelson has to be gone this offseason. I'm surprised he was even brought back for this season. But even when you look at that, he's minimizing the negative impact that Nelson is having on this team.
Yeah, without a doubt. So hopefully, you know, John Pagano doesn't make us eat these words, and he, you know, continues to even get better. And I think that's a good possibility, especially with Khalil Mack as the anchor of that Raiders defense. Obviously, he's that guy to build around. Just keep on putting players in good position. That's all I ask for. Use them the way they're supposed to be used. I mean, that's something that you've been pulling out your hair since Sean Smith became a Raider, that he hasn't been being used correctly. He wasn't. Absolutely wasn't. And he was being shown week in and week out to the point where he was getting benched and only came in. I mean, he got benched earlier this season and only came in because of injury. That's the only reason he got back onto the field. Well, he's found a way to stay on the field because as of late, he's been put in good position and kind of playing to his strengths, even though, and this is a good time as ever, I guess, to call him out. You know, he was called for a tic-tac interference penalty, as far as I'm concerned, but his inability to tackle after that play was what really made me bad. The fact that, all right, you gave up an interference penalty, that was tic-tac, I can forgive that. But the fact that you didn't make the tackle or make the interception or whatever, make the play, that's what was bad, because that you can't allow that play to become a big play, and that's exactly what he did. He allowed a small play to become something major, and that's the problem. That's something he can't do. So he's going to have to either – well, I think he's gone anyway next year, but I still think he needs to – continue to build and grow from what he's been doing the last couple of weeks, at least the rest of this regular season. And, you know, we'll talk about him later on what the future holds for him. But at least while he's a member of the Raiders, at least these next four games, he's got to continue to play in to his strengths, not put him in a position of weakness. Let him do what he does best and let him thrive out there, because right now it's slim pickings as far as the defensive backs go. There's really not a whole lot of talent out there. You mentioned that early in the podcast. So the Raiders are going to have to win with what they got, and Sean Smith is unfortunately going to have to be a part of that. And he's been doing okay as of late. He needs to continue to build on that and be better as well. And I'm sure John Pagano is going to kind of focus in on him and continue to not set him up for failure, unlike what he was getting earlier when Ken Norton Jr. was the guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been promising overall on defense since Pagano's taken over. Again, not trying to go over the top, not trying to claim that this is a defense that is even good, let alone great, but it's a defense that's improving. It's a defense that's playing to its strengths rather than playing to its weaknesses. So I think if you're a Raiders fan, you can be cautiously optimistic about moving forward, because I think as the season goes on, we'll continue to see this defense get better as Pagano continues to put them in position to play better. So I think that's really big, and I think it's dramatically important because of the fact that this offense still cannot find an identity. It still cannot find a rhythm. It still cannot play consistently enough to win games by themselves. But now you have a defense that can help them win games. It's no longer a defense like last season where you relied 1,000% on the offense to win. Last season, you had zero confidence that the defense would do anything to help the win. Earlier this season, you had zero confidence that the defense would do anything to help them win. Now, you have confidence that the defense might be able to help out. I mean, 8 sacks in 2 weeks, the first interception, 2 fumbles last week, both of which at the quarterback, you know, both of which coming because of that pressure on the quarterback. Those are things to get excited about, and because they're things that can help the offense further down the line. So, you know, again, you're not going to get an influx of talent on this roster, but you have gotten an influx of better play calling and scheming to put the talent that is on their roster in a position to succeed.
Right, and look, honestly, all they have to do is kind of play like the Raiders defense did last year, where they made plays here and there to kind of secure victories and sometimes even be the lead and allow, you know, Derek Carr and the offense to clean it up late. You know, just kind of keep them around, hang them around. That's all they really got to do. I'm not asking them to be lights out, but they just have to be better than what they were. That's the biggest issue, is that early in the season, they were just atrocious. They couldn't stop me and you from scoring. I mean, that's just the reality of it. They were terrible. And so now, at least they're starting to turn the corner as far as that's concerned. I just need to see more plays like I saw from Khalil Mack, where not only does he go in and get the sack, but he knows the sense of urgency and he knows what time it is. He goes in there and strips the ball at the same damn time so the team don't score. That's the kind of plays that need to be made. Those are game changers right there, because the Giants were pretty much guaranteed 3 points there at the very least. And he made sure that they weren't getting nothing. That could have been a game-changing moment. Those are how big-time players make plays. That's the kind of stuff that we need to see. And early in the season, we weren't even seeing the sense of urgency from guys like that. And I'm talking about Khalil Mack as well. He wasn't even having that sense of urgency then. All of a sudden, he realizes that, hey, you know, our back is against the wall. We need to make a play. And boom, comes up with a huge play. And ends up not allowing the Giants to score anything. That was huge. That could have really been a momentum shift in the game. And luckily, right when it started to shift and go towards the Giants, Khalil Mack said, "No, sir, we're going to shift it right on back," and went into the locker room with the ball. That was awesome. That was huge. And that's something that should not be overlooked, and realize that that was a conscious effort. That wasn't by accident that he happened to sack him and get the ball. He was going in there with a purpose. That purpose was to get the ball. Same thing with Bruce Irvin when he forced the fumble. He didn't go in there just to get Geno on the ground. He went in there to get the ball. Both those guys did that, went in there with a purpose. That's the kind of defensive plays I need to see the rest of the way, the rest of the season, is play with a purpose. Don't just be out there running around just to say you are and collect a paycheck after the game. Go out there with a purpose. Make a few plays here and there. Games, football games, as long as they are, and I know they're four quarters, ultimately they come down to a handful of plays every single game. That's what it is. A game is determined by a handful of plays. As much as people don't want to believe that, it is the absolute truth. I don't give a damn if you run 70 plays on offense. That game was determined by a handful of plays, and that handful of plays that the Raiders made on Sunday was the difference in that game. And that's the kind of way that they need to play if they want to finish this season off strong and have an opportunity to get into the playoffs.
Yes, sir. So the Raiders are now tied, as we mentioned earlier, for first place in the AFC West, and destiny is controlled solely by them. If they win out, they're in. They are the AFC West champions, and they're in the playoffs. If they win 3 of 4, with one of their losses coming to either Dallas or Philadelphia, again, they are the AFC West champions, and they are in the playoffs. Great position to be, but again, they've got to play better than they have been, because they're not going to get wins against teams like the Chiefs, Cowboys, Eagles, and Chargers playing the way that they have. On the bright side, as we've noted, there are reasons to think that they'll continue to get better. The defense has been getting better. We've been seeing more from the run game. We've been seeing more from guys like Cordarrelle Patterson stepping up on offense. We've been seeing reasons to believe that they will continue to improve, but they've got to get it done. The timetable is short. There aren't a lot of games left. They got to improve, and improve now. If they do, sky's the limit.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. The season's not over. I thought it was. I was ready to start looking into the draft and see what players would make the team better and think about next year. And look, they're in cardiac arrest right now. They came back to life. They got some blood pumped into them, and they're still alive. So while you're still alive and while you still have an opportunity to win the AFC West, like you just kind of pointed out, you know, go get it. Why not? It's basically like, hey, I know your season hasn't been very good. I know you basically screwed off a bunch of games and lost games that you shouldn't have lost and have really been disappointing. That's okay. Don't worry about it. We'll call it even, and we'll give you 4 games to win the West. That's what it is. I mean, you're looking at this season. It's basically everybody's 0-0, and you have 4 games to get it done. Who can win the most in 4 games? Who can win the most important games in 4 games? That's what it's boiling down to. And if you gave me that opportunity, or if you gave James that opportunity, or if you told me that the Raiders were going to have that opportunity just to win the AFC West with 4 games to go, all they had to do is go out and win the important games, the most important games, 3 out of 4, basically, I would take that challenge every day, twice on Sunday. I think that the Raiders are in a very fortunate position. Now they just got to go out there and complete the job.
Yes, sir. And unless you have something else for MQ, Raider Nation, as always, we appreciate you tuning in. We love that you're here to talk Raiders with us each and every week. And as always, win, lose, or tie, Black Hole Banner will be here to talk about it.
I did want to remind everybody that we'll have a preview episode, and I'll be talking to Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com to talk about the upcoming game against the Chiefs. So have that to look forward to as well.
Yes, sir. It's a huge, huge game, and we will be talking about it next time on the Black Hole Banner. Peace out, Raider Nation.
Yeah, what he said.
It's the way of life. Yeah. Raider Nation. Raider Nation.
Up top, down low. Down low, it one way. That stupid black hole. Black hole. Game time. High talk is dead. Just win, baby. Enough said. Up top, down low. Only one way, that's through the black hole. Game time. High talk is dead. Just win, baby.